on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Genevieve Wood joins us from the Heritage Foundation. About three, four days now after a joint session of Congress to hear from the President of the United States, 47, Donald Trump. And just by chance, Genevieve, did you have a chance to watch the entire broadcast?
I did watch all 1 hour and 40 minutes of his remarks and some of the pageantry before and after. But I will, I don't know, so I would be interested to know what your listeners thought in terms of, it didn't seem like a full hour and 40 minutes to me. I don't know, maybe because it's not just a solid speech. It's a speech with a lot of theatrical things thrown in from both sides, frankly. But it makes it a little more less than, you're not just sitting there watching a dry speech for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was certainly entertainment. That is for sure. Let's start there. I mean, at the very beginning, I loved President Trump's candor to say, look, I could say, you know, I won't say what he said, but essentially he says, look, I could do something that everyone everywhere, anywhere, anytime should be super pleased with, but these people will not acknowledge a positive.
There's nothing, basically, there's nothing I could say, nothing I could do that will please you or make you happy or get an applause. And, you know, he said that fairly early in the speech. I don't know if it was 10 minutes in, what have you, but it was fairly early in the speech once you started seeing the Democrats holding up signs and different things. Clearly, you know, they'd orchestrated this theatrics. But then it became very clear as it went on, especially when the president got to the part. I mean, did I expect them to clap when he talked about, you know, what's happening with cutting down the size of government? And that's what they love, you know, or when he talks about tax cuts or any of the policies, the immigration, you know, the fact that the border so much more secure. You know, I would have thought there was a time when you would have had a few Democrats agree with that. But what really became stark and clear is when it came to him recognizing various, you know, heroes and great Americans up in the balcony, which is something that started way back with Ronald Reagan, and every president of both parties since has done it, recognizing people up in the balcony that are inspiring, have inspiring stories. And the fact that not one Democrat, I think one Democrat stood for one of them, and that was a little boy, the 13-year-old, who I'm sure your listeners saw, who's, you know, been fighting brain cancer for a number of years, wants to be a policeman, and the president recognized him and also made him an honorary member of Secret Service. And the fact that only one member of the Democratic Party in the chamber that night stood and clapped for him, that's just like, wow. That is like second, 10th level from like normal to me. I just can't. It broke my heart for him.
And I didn't really count. There were other times I really try to be very fair when I watch this. And I did watch for, really, are they, oh, there's, okay. And actually I want to say at times a handful, that would stand and clap for some of those people on the balcony. But I do want to go back to, you mentioned it starting with Ronald Reagan, and we've mentioned on this broadcast before the relationship that Ronald Reagan had with Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, who was on the other side of the aisle. And they found things that together they could celebrate and work on and create some unity. It's a little bit scary to see those areas where we should find unity, not only a child dealing with brain cancer, but another young man. A young man with a GPA over 4.0, is like 4.4 or 4.6 something, who was intending to apply to West Point, and in front of the whole country on national TV, for the president of the United States to inform this young man that his application has been accepted. And a lot of people may not even realize, you know, I'm a military brat, so when someone says academy, regardless of which one, I perk up, because just to get accepted, let alone get through those academies, is a great achievement. And people on both sides of the aisle have been through those academies. It's a great achievement. And for people to sit on their hands during that, it's hard to know what to attribute it to. Although, you know, you and I are both referring a little bit to an article by Ben Shapiro found at dailysignal.com. You know, TDS has got to be a part of this for those not familiar. Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, Steve, I think it is definitely some of that, but I also think, and Ben touches on this in his article, I mean, the two parties, whether you want to say conservative and liberal or Democrat and Republican, they are very far apart on their world, not just their view for the country, their world view. And yeah. So many on the left, they just don't like America very much. So they're not going to stand for West Point and the military. They don't really like, I mean, they say they like our military. They don't, they defund it. They want to defund it half the time. You know, it's on their watch. It's so many, we saw recruitment go down across the board. It's now sprung back up under Donald Trump's like few short days of being back as president. You've seen those numbers go up, but they have a very different worldview of what they think America is, what they think it ought to be. They don't like it in many respects. And frankly, it's a very uninspiring agenda. You know, when you talked about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, you know, this is back though when Tip O'Neill loved America. He'd wrap a flag around himself too.
But as did Jimmy Carter,
As did Jimmy Carter. But we're in a very different place. Some of that is certainly Trump derangement syndrome. But I also think that TDS is a symptom of a larger problem. And you've got two different very worldviews. Trump clearly supports one. He's pretty good at it. And it makes him crazy, understandably. And so it's more than anything they care about that than honoring some of their own fellow citizens who are just, you know, gems of our culture and that we ought to be honoring and encouraging.
Yeah. Well, I want to reel in those that are ready to tune out because politics. I'm going to apply to the Christian community some of what we've been talking about very soon. Before I do that, there's also something to be said about how historically we are to behave when in the rules that come with being part of a legislative body. And we saw, you know, a bad representation of that from Representative Al Green of Texas. I want to say I really feel like Mike Johnson handled that very well. It wasn't like, you're out. He gave plenty of warning. And it was clear that it wasn't going to change. Then he had the sergeant at arms deal with it. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go and watch the recap of the president's speech. Now, let me make the application. I'm sitting there and Ben Shapiro makes comment about the signs that the Democratic Party, I didn't see anyone on the Republican side holding signs up that said false or Musk steals or save Medicaid. And these are messages that are contrary to the truth. For example, and I think Ben Shapiro makes note of it, save Medicaid. President Trump has done nothing but make it clear that he has no plan to cut Medicaid. Now, whether or not he does is yet to be seen. It gives a message that the person at the podium wants to do away with Medicaid. And I've said for years, you know, there's politicians and people who say things like the sky is green, the sky is green. And you say it enough and people who don't look up to see that the sky is blue, believe what they're being told. Now, we as Christians need to be prepared in season and out of season for when someone shares untruths to share not only the truth when it comes to public policy, legislation, but more importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when someone shares something that's contrary to our Christian worldview, we need to lovingly, respectfully, but strong, in a strong manner, be prepared to share the truth. And in order to know the truth, you need to be consuming truth. So there's daily time in the Word of God. And when it comes to these issues and public policy things, you need to consume some, and we've talked before about, you know, balancing where you get your information, testing it to see that it's real. I think that's one of the great applications we can take from that. There are people who, whether they intend to be telling untruths or they've just, you know, drank the Kool-Aid as well, we need to know what the truth is and be prepared to share it.
No, you're 100% right. And I know, Steve, it is hard to keep up with all that's going on. You know, to your point of like, you know, you got to know the facts so that when somebody says something different, you can, you know, kindly try to have a discussion with them. But it's hard to keep up in a world of so much information. And let me use a word that the left likes, so much disinformation, like what's, you know, how much of it's real and what's not. You've got to find reliable sources. I would love to for your audience to consider the Daily Signal and the Heritage Foundation as those. But, you know, yes, we come from a conservative worldview. So I would encourage people to, you know, find because look, you can for Medicaid, you can have a different view about the pros and cons of our Medicaid system and is it working as it should work? But that doesn't mean that you're telling lies. You just have different views about it and you can debate that out. But to your point, to say that somebody wants to get rid of a program or cut something, that's not what they've ever said.
Or that they're stealing
that on them. Or that they're right. Then that's a different story. And so that it just, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole that goes on from both sides in politics. And you've got to be able to cut through that and find out what's the real debate here. Because I need to know.
Yeah, well said. Well, if you didn't catch some of what Genevieve was saying as far as content, you can go to dailysignal.com. I go there often and find information and educate myself about what's going on. It's one of the places I go, heritage.org as well. And as always, Genevieve, always appreciate your time. I know you're traveling, but you took a moment to connect with us and get us our Heritage Foundation update for the day, and it's greatly appreciated.
It's great to be with you. Thanks, Steve.
All right, as you can hear, we're out of time. Brian Cochran typically gives us our Friday financial update. He is traveling today. We're not able to catch up to him. But remember, you can go to johnmoore.com, click on the Insights tab. It's a free resource for you to find out things about, well, like some of the things regarding taxes. That's just around the corner that we've been talking about. You can find that there and much more. But thanks for listening to ABQ Connect. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.